on this week's podcast.
I finally watched The Expanse.
Where are you going with this, Nige?
Where I goddamn like.
I finally get around to playing God of War.
Why don't crabs give to charity? Because they're shellfish, boy.
And we end with something funny.
Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks, space adventurers, diplomats, gods of war, gods of summer, and people who write silly headlines. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, I have my stalwart, Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
What up?
How are we doing? So, this week, we want to be talking about The Expanse, because I put you on The Expanse and you've been watching it.
And I've been watching it.
I think it's one of the best TV programs fucking ever. Then I want to talk about God of War, because I've got God of War now, and I want to talk about it. And then we're going to say some funny headlines for the end, because we know you guys enjoyed them, so we're going to do some more, because I enjoyed doing them too. So I've got a few funny ones from the UK.
Although we do run the risk of, a joke was funny once. But then if you say it three or four times, it's not funny anymore.
But these are different jokes.
I know.
But we'll do this. This is another make-up for the fact that we've done a few political things. We want to make things happy because, as I said in the last podcast, this political thing's a little bit of a turn-off.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear all that shite. We just want to talk about things that we love and things that we enjoy. And I want to talk about the thing that I'm enjoying most on TV, and the thing that's making me anxious and sad at the same time too, is The Expanse. A great, great fucking story and great characters, great special effects and great science behind it and everything kind of, it's like 100% in all categories, which is very rare for a TV show. So you started watching it and I think you got onto I think you're on the fifth episode. You've just finished
about that.
The CQB episode where the Doniger gets attacked by the stealth ships, which is one of my favourites of the first series.
It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. So the first things first. Shed. Shed lost his head.
Yeah, do you know what? The way he lost his head. Fuck me. Yeah, they're in zero gravity again because the drive went off, didn't it?
Yeah.
And Matey Boy was freaking out. Who was it? The pilot man.
Yeah, Alex.
Alex. He was freaking out a bit and he had his little sweeties that he was going to pass over. I don't know what they were.
I think it was some kind of amphetamine of sorts.
Yeah, he was literally about to flick one over to the pilot. Alex. And it was weird how they showed it. Next, he's literally throwing it. And you think, oh, he'll just reach over, grab it, you know. Because they literally just found out that he faked all his degrees and stuff.
Yeah. Love that. It goes, because what did you do? They just put me under, because they put me under pressure and I just squealed and told the truth. You know? Yeah. They knew that I faked my medical degree because I was a drug dealer and wanted to get away from the authorities on Earth. I love that.
So what he was giving to Alex was drugs.
Yeah.
He cooked it up because he knows it calms people down. So, yeah, and then what? Next scene? Lesson next scene? That everything's gone to shit in on the
Doniger.
And they're all strapped in and the pilot is going, Alex is going mental. He's flicking over some drugs to keep him calm. And as he does it, I don't know what, but it gets shot straight through where they are. And it took his head off. And because it's zero grav, the blood is just sticking up where his head should be.
Yeah.
It's floating around in droplets where his head should be. And everyone's looking over. Oh, oh man, that's manky.
Right, hang on a second. Sorry.
Bad boy left his phone on.
Naughty.
So that's getting switched off for the duration. If we made money, I'd be getting a fine. If we made money. Yeah, no, I love
naughty,
that.
Naughty.
I love that bit where Shed loses his head.
Yeah, and it did splay around a little bit, didn't it, the blood?
Yeah.
But not very much, and that's how you would expect it to be in zero gravity. So I love the fact that they knew they were starting to lose pressure in that room and therefore air. So they started digging around to see what they got, and they found some O&M manuals for I don't know what.
There were probably some operating manual that no one ever fucking reads. But they had steel, things to keep them safe. So made great plates for welding. I love that, because it's just like, it's like, shit, if we don't sort this out, we're going to die. So it's like, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
And then later on, they realise they're running out of air. So they go, one of us has got to go under. To which Alex turns around to Amos and goes, you're a fucking earther. You take up more oxygen than that. And then Amos points out the fact that because I'm from Earth, I grew up in a gravity well, I can carry you. You can't carry me.
Yeah.
Which I love those little kind of, there are tons of little bits in it. It's like when they first get attacked, they pick up on a single drive plume. Yeah. So the Martians see that there's a ship coming towards them. They can't tell what the ship is. Turns out it's like seven stealth ships in a line, so they can't be seen.
I think they were attached to it.
No. You had the breaching pods on each one of the stealth ships. But what the stealth ships were doing is they were literally following each other in a line. So you couldn't. Oh. So you could only see one ship. So they thought they're getting attacked by one ship. So they thought, we're fine. We can take these bastards. And it turns out they can't take the bastards because there's seven of them. And they demonstrate how the tactics in the Expanse work, where you have your missiles for your 10,000 kilometers, and then your rail guns for your 1,000 kilometers, and then when you get up to like a kilometer or so, what they call CQBs, when you start using the PDCs and the rail guns at the same time. And maybe the missiles if you're feeling a bit fucking daring. And it was, I loved that because they breached the ship and everything, and they had, the Martians are supposed to have the coolest tech, yeah? And you look at it and you go, you've got the coolest tech, yeah? And then these bastards show up and they've got even better tech.
They've got better tech.
It's like the guy gets his arm cut off and you see the whole suit seal up around the hull.
It's sealed around his hull, yeah. He sealed it up so he would be fine.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't. Because there's no pressure in the ship, they're all wearing their suits.
Yeah.
And as soon as he had no arm, you think, well, he's dead, you know, but it's letting air in. Mm. Nope. Suit seals itself up. Bingo. He can keep breathing and whatnot.
And they also had signature guns too. So if he picks up Matey's gun, goes to shoot him, because Holden picks it up and goes to shoot him, and he pulls the trigger, nothing fucking happens.
Work.
Yeah.
It's linked to their DNA and stuff, is it?
Well, I don't know if it's linked, I think it's linked to that. He said that it was linked to their armor, I think, in the show. But
yeah, that's one of the Martians said that, didn't they? It didn't know that it was. Well, I thought that was helpful, mate. You've got to try and keep him alive, and he was trying to do the same. And you're mocking, you twat.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and did you love the bit where they finally got hold of the Tachi? And he breaks out, and the pilot who went down is now waking up from being sedated.
Yeah.
And he turns on the PDCs inside the thing and just fucking cooks all the bad guys.
Oh, he gets in that seat, doesn't he? They find their way to a ship. I don't know what type of ship it looked, a pretty deadly ship, to be fair.
It's a corvette / light frigate / torpedo bomber, they call it.
It's got guns all over the fucking place.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be the ones that the special ops use, or when they're in trouble, they put them out there to cause havoc amongst the other ships, because it's supposed to be able to take down a capital ship on its own.
Oh.
So these things are pretty fucking, you know, pretty lethal.
Pretty meaty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the matey boy, Alex, he got shot on the bridge on the way over to the thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Not him. Amos. The other guy did.
Amos got shot.
The Martian bloke.
The Martian got shot and Amos got shot through the leg.
Amos. Yes. And they were put in bad condition. And he was the only Martian that was with them.
Well, he's the only official Martian that was with them because Alex is a Martian.
Yes, Alex is a Martian, unofficially.
I love that we can call people Martians in this. It's that cool.
It's actually right. Yeah, and he's sat in the chair and he's looking like he's not just woken up, but he's been on, he's been under.
Yeah.
He's been sedated, like you say. And he sits in the chair and he pushes a button and some sort of liquid goes in, like gets injected into him.
Yeah, it's a cocktail of stuff to stop you from stroking out at high G. So they put they flood your blood and stuff to keep your heart pumping and your lungs working and stuff because you'll pull like 30 G, I think. 30 to 40 G is the max. I think in the story, I think it's the Babylon Ashes story or the Nemesis game story, him and Bobby take this racing ship called the Razorback and they pull 40 G to escape Marcos Inara's little, the Free Navy fleet, which is something that comes up later, which is really cool. But they have to have the stuff in there because otherwise your blood vessels and shit burst. And one of the characters dies later on because he's old. And even having this, I think they bought some cheaper version of the drug because they couldn't get hold of, not the fact they couldn't afford it, they couldn't get hold of the other stuff and the poor bastard strokes out because of it. But the idea is that shit's supposed to keep him alive, plus keep him alert too. So that's the reason the first thing he did is he leant back in a chair, injected himself with all the crap to get himself up and running.
Yeah, that's right. And he immediately took to flight. They took off and he just started laying waste to everybody that was... Because they were all on the balconies around this area. Because it's like a big rectangle, big open hangar with the bridge. And he literally just takes off and just guns shooting everything inside. And they shoot a hole, get out into the open. And that's when I've left it because the captain of the ship decides the only way forward now is to detonate.
Yeah, because you can't, because they've got rules, and the rules are that you can't let, when enemies try to take a ship, they head towards engineering to take control of the reactor. So if they take control of the reactor, they can either blow the ship up or kill the atmosphere for everyone. Or if they take control of the thingy, because that will control the engineering too. So if they take one of those two areas, you've got to blow the ship up, because the ship's lost at that point in time. And it's great because she turns around and she was so relaxed during the whole thing. She's sitting there more concerned, looked like she was more concerned about her coffee. Yeah
she was.
And she turns around because I didn't think we could lose, and then she does it, and then the thing goes fucking nuclear explosion in space. And dude, one of my favourite episodes.
I liked it because it had a little bit of everything. Because it started when they picked him up. The previous episode ended when they were picked up by their distress signal was picked up by this ship, and then they realised it was a Martian ship, and it was the
Doninger,
the flagship.
Yeah.
The flagship of their fleet. And then they thought, well, shit, if it was the Martians who destroyed our ship, our main ship, then they've come back to finish the job off.
Yeah.
And so they were all worried, and they all get taken aboard, and they all get put into this holding cells, and one by one, interrogated by Matey Boy with, I don't know, a drug.
Yeah, he takes a drug, and what the drug's supposed to do is it's, they don't tell you in the TV show, but in the book,
senses, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to look for the senses and allows you to see micro changes in people's behavior. So you can see if their eyes dart one way or blood vessels happen here and there. And it's supposed to, that's why he has the thing with the eyes. He sees pupils go back and down. So you can interrogate people. So you become a human lie detector for all intents and purposes by taking one dose of this drug.
Yeah, I thought it was meant to do something like that. And that's where all this starts coming out. Who was taken first? It was immediately, it was Alex. Alex was taken.
Yeah, because he's a
straight away.
Yeah, because he's former Martian. So
that's because they check the barcodes on each other's on the next one, the microchip that's in their neck, didn't they?
Yeah.
As soon as they were aboard, and his gave a different sort of beep, and I thought, oh, what's up with that?
Because
it was a different beep to the other one. The others went beep, and his went beep beep beep, and it went, you're coming with me. Turns out he had 20 years experience as a pilot.
Yeah.
Although what he didn't divulge at that point was what he was piloting. You see, which everyone found out what he was piloting during the crisis part when everyone was trying to, you know, he's going, I've never driven one of these before. Why not? He goes, well, I was basically transport.
I was glorified. Buses. Yeah, glorified bus driver. But here's the funny thing is, he always wanted to pilot one of those ships. And he got to, and it was like, yeah! Because it was one of his dreams to pilot it, and he finally got around to doing it, even though they kind of stole it.
Kind of stole it, but hey, I did like the way they were trying to plant ideas into the XO, what's his name?
Holden.
When they were interrogating him, they weren't really interrogating him. They were more trying to get him to think that the woman, is it Naomi?
Yeah, Naomi.
Is far too qualified to be in the position that she has got on a freighter, basically.
Yeah. Well, an ice hauler.
And that in their sort of way that of thinking, they would expect her to be a mole or a terrorist because it makes no sense for her to be there because she's far too overly qualified to be there, etc.
This is what I was telling you about when I was proselytizing on the phone. I think it's the only way to describe it, because everybody on the Canterbury has a history of sorts.
Yeah.
So Naomi was with the OPA as an OPA terrorist with a guy called Marcos Inaris, who stole her son, Philip, and her being qualified and stuff, she helped him develop a program which would cause a fault in ships' reactor cores and causing them to explode when they engage the core. But she's managed to stop him from using it, and then she escaped onto the Canterbury so she wouldn't have to deal with any of that OPA shit. So that's one of the reasons that she ran away. And then you've got Amos, who was a mob enforcer. Yeah, so he used to go around, beat shit out of people for money and kill people who didn't do things right. That's why Amos is like Amos is. And then you've got Alex. Alex was former MCRN. He was a bus driver, as described, but he enjoyed being out in space so much. When he quit because his wife wanted to see him more because he kept on going out on deployment and stuff, I think after 6 months at home, he then just signed up to the Canterbury and just kind of left her and the boy at home. And then you've got Holden, and Holden was in the UNN Navy, so the Earth Force Navy. And he, I think he was ordered to fire on someone in the TV show. I don't think that happened in the book, but he just got tired of watching the way things were done. So he left because he didn't want to be in the UNN. It wasn't good for him. So he left and joined the Canterbury. So they've all got, it's great because from the outset, they've all got histories. There's histories to them. It's like the same with, like, if you look at Mars and OPA and Earth, they've all got histories with each other. So it makes the world a lot more believable and a lot more enjoyable to watch, because it's like you learn a little bit more about each, you know, history of what's went on and kind of the dodgy shit that they've done. But Miller's kind of the character who's the in, because if you read the books, it's divided between, Holden is the, you're in, and then Miller's the other part. So you've got two stories going on side by side. You have the Miller story with the Canterbury and everything that happens, and that one kind of runs through all the books. And then you've got the Miller, which is like the I wouldn't say it's a second tier story, because it's a really good story about him trying to track down a missing girl, Julie Mao. And it's a lovely, he's got such a lovely story. It's a bit tragic and everything, but you find out that Miller is he thinks he's good at his job, and in the book they tell him it's a complete fuck up. Yeah. And then that then becomes a driving force for him leaving Ceres, because he leaves Ceres at one point. But they don't quite put that in the same terms on the screen. So the Miller character is a great character. His arc is weird, because the first book is called Leviathan Awakes, and I think the last episode of the first series is called Leviathan Awakes. And the book doesn't finish off until halfway through the second series, and then it starts up the second book story midway through, which is called Caliban's War, which is great. If you know who Caliban is in The Tempest, he's a half monster, half human thing, and I won't spoil any further than that for you, that there's something a bit more to it, but it's really good. Holden's great, because he's a self-righteous arsehole, and he gets called out on it quite a lot, and he acknowledges the fact that he's a self-righteous arsehole when he gets something between his teeth. So he's not like a total prick. He acts prickish, yeah? He knows he acts prickish. The others know he acts prickish, and it's great, because in the fourth book, Chipola Burns, the Avasarala character, the UN lady, she sends him out to sort out a dispute, and the reason she sends him out is she turns around and goes, he's an arsehole, but he's an arsehole that we know. And she's such a great, because the Avasarala character is such a great, because she's such a sweary old lady. She's like, fuck you, this is not fucking right, bullshit. And she's like, in the middle of a meeting, she'll go bullshit like that, and it's great, because she wasn't in the first story, The Leviathan Awakes. She was in the second one, the Caliban's War. And I'm so grateful they put her in the first series, because she gives you the Earth kind of perspective. And I think it was only the Martian ones. What do you think about the weird Belter dialect that they've got? When you hear the Belters talk, and they have that weird way of talking, and it sounds a bit Cockney, sounds a bit South African, sounds a bit like kind of like tones of like kind of like Chinese and Arab and Spanish and all those sort of things, kind of all intermixed. So it's really odd to the ear.
I've never noticed.
You haven't noticed?
I've noticed that they don't talk. Obviously, Miller, the detective, he doesn't quite talk like that, but when you're talking to more of a scum sort of areas,
yeah,
that they have to deal with, especially the dude who stands on a pedestal and preaches to everybody who will bloody listen,
yeah,
and they break his his megaphone thing that he's got strapped around his neck. He really had a strong South African accent.
It was like a weird South African accent. It was like a weird one. Yeah.
It was odd. And I haven't heard too much of the talking between the two. Yeah, they do have different accents and things like that. Like, what's his face? His partner, his young partner that he's trying to show the ropes.
Havelock.
He goes off to what looked like he was going to a prostitute's. And he did, but it's for her to teach him how to speak a language.
This is Belter Creole, I think they refer to it as.
Yeah, and he tries it out, doesn't he? Mm. And I don't know, there was some sort of riot going on. He went off to sort something out. He thought she might be in trouble, I guess, because there was riots in her area, so he ran off there. Miller stayed where he was. And he come across some Belters, I guess, didn't he?
Mm.
Who were causing some trouble, and they shot a fucking big spike through his through his stomach. And
yeah,
he even tried the thing that he'd been practicing with that girl, you know, to try and, you know, calm him down a bit or whatever. And they just laughed at him and then shot him.
Yeah.
It was very RoboCop, that moment.
Okay, I wouldn't... Okay, all right.
You know, the...
Yeah.
That bit. Not anything else, but that bit. Yeah, he seems all right. He woke up when somebody was trying to steal his shit. And they ran off trying to get help in the end. So, yeah, it's a scummy place where they live, but hey. You have your good parts and your bad parts, like anywhere. But I like it. I do. I'm looking forward to the part where it starts mixing with Miller's story and
Holden,
and not the Canterbury and the other one.
The Russian. It'll be the Russinanti. That's the name of the. That's what they relabel the Tachi. They relabel it the Russinanti, which is
Russinanti.
Yes, it's after, I think it's after Don Quixote's horse from the story, which I've never read, so I can't...
The first bit that they sort of said something around the link was where he's obviously looking for Julie Mao, and he comes across somebody who tells him the name of a ship that she ran away on.
The Scapulae.
Yes. And the Scapulae is the one that was used as a decoy for the Canterbury to go to in the first episode. And obviously it was a derelict ship.
Yeah.
So I don't know if what's-her-face, Julie, is still alive or if he's looking for a dead person now.
I'll throw you a bone. The ship that you saw her on right at the beginning isn't Scapulae. It's another
ship.
They
make it look like it is, don't they?
They fuck with you on that. That really, in the book, it's perfectly clear. In the book, it's so fucking, it's clear as day. But because they translate it, because the writers of the books are working with the writers, they translate it into better TV than it was. But it's good.
I'm waiting for that bit where there's crossover.
Yeah. A lot of people... I'll tell you that when they do crossover, mate, a lot of dead bodies. So just wait for a massive gunfight, and then after that you go, oh, I think they're going to meet up now. It's just like a stack of dead bodies everywhere. Oh, yeah. And if there is a stack of dead bodies and they haven't met up, there's even more bodies going to hit the floor.
Because they keep talking about the OPA... which is the Outer Planets Alliance.
Yeah.
And they're the terrorists, right?
Well, they're the kind of...
people they deem the
terrorists. They deem terrorists. Some are good, some are bad. Marcus Naros is the worst. And Fred Johnson's probably the best one. And then you've got... Anderson Dawes, who's an interesting character. Who's actually named after... He gets his first name from a company who owned a station where... tragedy happened, so that's interesting. But can I ask you to cover your ears for a moment, because I just want to talk about the latest episode, series 3, episode 6. So okay. I'll wave at you when you can put your headphones back on. All right, so take your headphone out. All right, okay.
All right.
Okay, take
right,
it
I'm
out
off from, I'm off air.
Okay, all right. Okay, episode 6, fuck me, was it good. It was the Bobby had a fight with the fucking Caliban creature. You had Prax get his kid back. He said the most heartwarming thing about Amos. He turned around and said, he took his daughter's hand. He goes, look, this is Amos. He's my best friend in the entire world. And then when he went to go and shoot the fucking Dr. Strickland character, Amos turns around and goes, you're not that guy. And then closes the door and turns and goes, I am that guy, and blows his fucking brains out, which was magnifique. Then you had Alex and Naomi on the Agatha King, and that stupid bastard win. Ah, God. And then the cliffhanger ending, which was absolutely fabulous. The protomolecule has formed something and is now flying out to get past Saturn so it can build the next part of the thingy, which will be referred to as, the book calls it, Abaddon's Gate. Fuck me, is it good? And I was like, ah, this is brilliant. And I was hoping Keith would be on this podcast so we could talk about it, but he's not. So now I'm going to wave at Nigel, who's looking away from his screen, so he can't see me waving at him, to say that it's safe to come in. Now he's done it.
Trying to find my headphone.
That's fine, that's fine. I was trying to keep it as brief as possible because it's... dude, you just the fight at the end of the end of the Caliban's War story, which is halfway through the third season, is one of the best episodes TV ever. Everything kind of mounts up. Everybody has their high points. There are emotional bits happening. Just fucking awesome.
Well, I am looking forward to watching a bit more, and it has actually, although. Something that we'll move on to. I love God of playing God of War.
Yeah.
But the last few evenings, I've just been going God of War or Expanse, and then I gave Expanse a quick go. I watched the Expanse and I went, oh, do you know what? Just one more. and then I watched a few, you know, especially last night. I watched two, I think, on the trot. So, yeah. I am getting into it, and it's taken over from God of War, which, you know, as you know, is not a bad game. Maybe
not,
do you think?
It's not a bad game. There is. I have one complaint, that the camera is too tight on Kratos. I listened to the reviews, and they all said that, and I went, "Ah, that's bollocks." Mm. And then I played it, and it was like when you fight the Stranger, which I'll come to in a moment.
Yeah.
It's very noticeable because it's like all of a sudden, because the graphics are so well done, the guys can camouflage themselves into the background, especially if they're wearing fucking tattoos. So when you're fighting the glowing dog-like creatures, easy to find. Yeah, or the glowing ice creatures, easy to find. But as soon as you've got a person, yeah, with a bit of camouflage paint on him, because it looks good, it's hard to spot him. I played it.
It is a bit tight, yeah. Yeah. I've never complained of that before, but... It is a bit tight.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Yeah, and do you know what? I think if it was out a little bit more like, let's say, Uncharted. No, it's a completely different game. Uncharted.
Hang on a second. Before you say that, it feels like the bastard love child of Uncharted and Horizon Zero Dawn. It really does feel it. There's something in it. They've managed to distill something in those games, and whatever they've put in those games, they've managed to put into God of War.
I think it's the interaction between him and his son, whereas you're not just running along, next load of monsters, kill the shit out of them. Next load of monsters, kill the shit out of them. Whereas this one, there's chatting in between. Areas like you get with Drake and Uncharted, and even the latest one, you know, with Chloe Fraser and whatnot.
But
I think it's that's what you're getting, and you've got a few puzzles and things that you need to sort out to get further into wherever you need to go. Not hugely like Uncharted, not as difficult, but there are some bits, so you have to figure something out, or in order to unlock a chest, for example, you need to figure out how to get to hit this bell, then this bell, and this bell within a certain time limit. I know it sounds simple, but it's where they place them means that you've got to be deadly accurate with chucking your axe to call it back to you, to turn at the same time and aim somewhere else to chuck your axe and hit that bell back, and then hit the other, and you've got to get the angles right so you can move on to the next one. It's just a little bit of tactics involved, and obviously accuracy, which is why I suck at it sometimes. But it's little things that they've introduced, whereas, you know, with Uncharted you got more puzzles. They're simpler puzzles in this, very simple compared, actually. But there are puzzles. And so that's probably why you feel there's a little bit of a a thing there. Same with Horizon Zero Dawn, because you had the whole free range running wherever you like thing, didn't you? After you got past a certain point. And you sort of get that in this, and I get it. The controls probably feel similar.
I don't know what it is. It's just, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It reminds me of the best bits, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the presentation. I think they've come up. I think they've developed a formula at Sony, which are now just applying to fucking everything. It's like, kind of, if you're doing a story game, could I make sure that your cutscenes kind of intersplice and become woven in with the gameplay rather than take you out with a full-blown cutscene?
Yeah, so while you're walking between this point and this point, or you're, say, in a boat, and you need to take the boat through this cavern down, the characters will be having a chat between each other.
Yeah.
So it's not dead air or dead time. You know, they're using it to build a little bit of a rapport, or they're using it to build a bit of a story, maybe even a backstory, you know. And it's, I think they use it to good effect, to be honest. So combat, do you like the combat? Are you a fan of it?
It's the tight in, which is the problem I had, and then I miss his chaos, the blades he had, like the blades.
Oh, the ones on the chain.
Yeah, where he just swing around, just fucking murder everything in the room.
Yeah.
I miss them. The axe is good. I do like the way the axe flies back to you. It was very. I didn't realise that I could use it against a troll, especially his head, for when I started out. But yeah, it was good. I wanted to talk about the stranger character in it, because I got to the bit where I got the bit of wood, we burnt the mother, we went out, he hunted the glowing deer, which has some significance, which I can't remember what the significance is. They get attacked by the troll. He then, it's funny because his kid loses it with the body of the troll and stabs it to pieces, and it's like, kind of. He goes, you've got to learn to control your anger. He goes, look, I don't want to sound rude, Kratos, but you had three whole games where you were nothing but fucking angry, and wiped out an entire Greek pantheon.
And he keeps saying to his son, you're not ready.
Oh, no, but that's good, because it was nice, because he turned around, he said, he goes, when he picks up the ashes and put it in, he says, he's not ready, and he goes, and neither am I. Which I thought was a lovely touch, and it may be the fact that he's not ready. He's not ready to let her go, and he's not ready to, you know.
He's not, actually, I think it's a bit of both. He's not ready to let her go, and he's not ready to become a full-time dad.
Yeah.
Because if you go a little bit further in, I think the child mentioned it, Atreus, he mentions it, that he was barely around.
Yeah. But this is the this is the question. Was he barely around because he was kicking the shit out of the Norse gods?
Exactly. How soon after the last game is this?
Yeah, because the last game I remember, he kills Zeus in the most brutal fashion ever, which is brilliant. He then stabs himself through the chest with a big sword and falls off into the water because he doesn't want to join Athena. And then I'm assuming he must have just kind of washed ashore somewhere and then just kept on walking north until he got to Viking land. I don't know which place. Denmark, Scandinavia, somewhere like that. But it's good. And one of the things that got me was this the stranger character that pops up, yeah?
Yes.
And the stranger character kind of gave me a Scottish hooligan, football hooligan vibe about him. Which isn't a bad thing, because it's it's kind of tribal, this, that, and the other. And, you know, saying that Scots may have something in common with Vikings and Scandinavians is not a million miles away from the truth. I watched a review and they said that there was Balder in it, yeah? And I was trying to remember my Norse mythology, which I'd done recently, and the story of Balder, because the story of Balder is a great one, yeah? I can't remember how it begins, but Balder has a prophecy set against him that says that he will die Yeah, and it will be soon. So his mum, Frigg, I think her name is, don't quote me on that. His mum, Frigg, goes out and she makes a deal with all the elements of the earth and all the trees of the forest and all the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the water and everything, yeah? To not hurt her son, yeah? My son, Baldur, will not be hurt by you. You all agree. And he went, Baldur is the most beautiful and greatest of all the gods. We agree that we won't hurt her. So anyway, she comes back, yeah? And there's old Loki. And Loki's like, so you made a deal with everything? And he went, she goes, yeah, because all the birds, and yeah, all the trees, and yeah, including mistletoe. So she goes, why would I want, how could mistletoe hurt him? You can't make it into a staff or an arrow or something like that. He goes, but the beads are poisonous, because that'd be fine. Anyway, Norse gods get pissed up, yeah, and they start playing games with Baldur, and the games go as follow, yeah. Let's throw rocks at Baldur because the rocks agreed they won't hurt him. So they're throwing fucking boulders and shit at him. He's not dying. They're trying to drown him. He's not drowning, yeah? They're throwing, like, trying to stab him with iron. He's not being stabbed, yeah? And Loki turns around and goes, well, mistletoe. I could poison him, but that would be a bit on the dull side. So what he does is he finds his brother. I think it's like Hold. It might be similar to Holdor. Finds his brother who's blind, yeah? And he says to his brother, he goes, look, I've got this dart. This tiny little dart, yeah? They're all having fun. Why don't you join in with the fun? Throw this dart at him. So he goes, all right. Throws a dart at him. It's a mistletoe dart, yeah? Hits him. Kills him fucking instantly. The prophecy came true. Because that's Loki. He's the best character in fucking Norse mythology, followed by Odin. The two of them are the most interesting people. Thor, you think, would be interesting, but he's just a dumb brute. He's lovely. They make him seem stupid but lovely, yeah? Like Thor Ragnarok, where he is stupid but lovely, yeah? You like him. Oh, who wouldn't like him, yeah? He's not that bright. There's a great story where, for some reason, Loki makes his wife... I can't remember her name. It makes his wife Freya bald. Yeah? And she wakes up and she's bald and she's freaking out. Yeah? And he looks at her and goes, it's Loki. It's fucking Loki. Picks up his hammer, goes outside and goes, I'm going to smash you into tiny little pieces unless you fix her hair. And these are great stories. What's his name? Neil Gaiman, who did Sandman and... the gods thing that's on American Gods. He wrote like a write-up of Norse mythology, and I went through that, and he does a really, really good job, and he makes it really good. The only one I think could be topped by is the Mythos book for Greek mythology. That's because I think I like Greek mythology just a little bit more. I do think the Norse mythology is good, but Greek mythology is it's a bit better. There's lots of incest, though, which is the horrible thing. But then again, it kind of talks like at the beginning of time where there's like two people. So shagging's a little on the difficult side. But there's a great story about how Kronos, who's one of the Titans, betrays his dad Uranus by getting a giant scythe and cutting off his twig and giggleberries and then throwing them to the corner of the earth. I'm not joking. I'm not making it up, yeah? Right? He's pissed off, so literally just cuts his cock off. And he's balls off, and he like lobs them out into the fucking wild, and you're like, you bastard. but he has it. He's supposed to have a scythe because this is where I bring it back into God of War, because the original God of War premise was for the next couple of games was going to be that Kratos goes around like Europe, wiping out all the gods, yeah, and then the last weapon he ends up with is a scythe, yeah. And then he gets a scythe, and he gets like a cloak and hood. Yeah, he turns into death. You know the image of death.
Yeah,
the Grim Reaper. He turns into the Grim Reaper because he's wiped out all these people, and then that's how the story is supposed to end. That he's the Grim Reaper because he comes for everyone and kills them. I think it kind of makes sense. And I got a feeling that that's what their plan is, but they're going to take a very fucking long time doing it.
Yeah, they'll get there eventually.
Considering they've just got onto sodding as Baldur, the problem is I don't know at what point in Norse mythology this is. I don't know if this is pre-Ragnarok or post-Ragnarok. It looks pretty post because all the temples are all fucked up. But you said that you came across, you called it the Earth Serpent or the something Serpent, who's the Midgard Serpent.
They call it the World Serpent in the game.
Because there's a there's a Midgard Serpent, and the Midgard Serpent kills Thor. Thor cuts his fucking head off, and the Midgard Serpent then spits venom all over Thor, pretty much fucking dissolving him. So he doesn't have a happy ending in the story.
Well, yeah. So I'm just looking this up, and yeah, you're pretty much right. So his mother's name is Frigg.
Oh, it's Frigg. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mistletoe is the correct.
I won the quiz. Woo! To get a prize.
Yes. I don't know. Loki gave the spear that he made out of mistletoe to Baldur's brother, who is the blind god Hor.
Okay.
I'm saying that wrong because there's accents and things above each letter. So it's H-O-O-R. So then, apparently, because he died, Odin and the giantess Rinder, to be confused with Grinder or Tinder, gave birth to Vali.
Yes.
Who grew to adulthood within a day and then slew her. I don't know how to say
that. Yeah.
So, yeah, reading up on this, it does say that it leads up to Ragnarok.
Yeah.
This but I don't know if the God of War game leads up to Ragnarok.
Yeah, the Legends of they're really good stories, and it's where you get your superheroes from. So if you understand these things, you understand it. So like for example, you got Hermiod and Hermes in Greek and Norse mythology. He was supposed to be really fast, so that's your flashy Quicksilver sort of character there. And then you've got things like the Titans, who would be like the bad guys, like Atlas and Kronos and whatnot, and then you've got kind of the Greek gods, so they would be like your Superman and that stuff. And you got I can't remember the builder character who lives down in the cave with a limp in Greek mythology. I cannot remember his name for love nor money, but he's supposed to be Batman for all intents and purposes because he can invent fucking anything to take care of any situation. So you can see where these characters come from. It's great and it's interesting, but you know, you read them. Mythos, I can't remember who does Mythos, and then the Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman, two really good books. I recommend them. I have to figure out how to lend them to Nige because I've got them electronically, so I have to figure out how to lend them to Nige because they are really good.
You enjoying it then?
Yes, I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I got to a puzzle. It was 1 o'clock this morning. I got to a puzzle and I saw the time and I was like, I can't do the fucking puzzle while I'm off sleep. So that's how good it is. Kept me up to 1 o'clock in the morning. Good.
Yeah. I know. I keep wanting to go back to it. I've just come back from Aethelheim, and I'm about to go and try. What am I going to do? I needed to I needed to get past some Black Death or something. It's like a smoke, Black Death smoke or something that's in the mountain range, stopping me from going up the mountain. Because you're meant to be taking her ashes up there. So I've just come back from Aethelheim with some sort of light, which hopefully will dissolve it. But who knows? Things keep getting in the way, but that's God of War.
Yes.
And I like it. I like it.
Oh, good. Okay. Time for a giggle. So, found some more headlines. Guy on Facebook, one of our followers, Gray. Hello, Gray.
Hello.
Pointed me towards one a subreddit. And it's ironic because I went from the subreddit and I followed things through and I found a good website. So you've helped me there, Gray. I appreciate that. So I found some funny British headlines. Are you ready? Do you want to hear some ridiculous nonsense to make you smile? House fire started as squirrel disrupts funeral procession through Romford.
What?
I don't know. Apparently, that's it, yeah. That was it. Okay, all right. G-string lawyer cleared after bedroom break-in. An ex-lawyer who snuck into a woman's bedroom in a G-string, fishnet stockings, whilst high on drugs, was cleared by Southwark Crown Court for trespassing with intent to commit sexual offence. Desmond Moran, 53, claimed he thought the woman was a panda. Fucking panda!
That makes it okay then.
Oh yeah, it's fine.
This does look a bit like a panda.
Yeah, it's just I'm taking the makeup off. This is a great one. It's a picture though, so it doesn't work so well on the podcast. 80-year-old Grant on mobility scooter got stuck into a standoff with a 10-ton tanker on a village bridge. So an old lady in a mobility scooter is like, "I'm not moving, I'm not moving," and there's a 10-ton fucking tanker. There's not the one, not as funny if you can't see the image, but I find it funny. Recipe correction: in the recipe for salsa recently, one of the ingredients was misstated due to an error. This is great. The correction to the ingredients is two tablespoons of cilantro instead of 2 tablespoons of cement. What idiot puts that down?
Nobody checks it.
Nobody checked that.
Just add cement to your seal. It's
fine. Yeah. It's
adds roughage.
Yeah, it adds roughage. Oh, right. Okay, this is a funny one. Sunday, July 19th, 8:44 a.m. report of a middle of a male riding a bike through a neighbourhood yelling racial slurs at 8:47 a.m. Officer stops man who said he was just trying to find his dog, Snickers. Think about yelling Snickers.
Oh, God.
That's, what is it? It's one of those kind of slow burner ones. Oh, okay.
God, yeah. If who calls their dogs? What a stupid name.
I don't know. He probably had
it's a chocolate bar, yeah, for God's sake.
It's probably got another one called Mars and Milky Way.
Maybe. Actually, to be fair, it is my favourite Chocky bar.
Right, here's a great one. Blackburn man does 5 lines of coke and has a 40-minute wank in a beer garden and is arrested.
So he was allowed to carry on?
No, everyone. He must have been wanking away and everyone must be looking at him going, "Is he doing what I think he's doing?" Fucking is. It's wanking. Quick, tell the guy.
Well, do you know, they probably phoned the police, you know, and they go, "Don't worry, we'll be finished in a minute. It'll be over in a minute." New.
Oh, this is another visual one. And this is great. It's just like, the guy says he hasn't taken a blind bit of notice. Thief tries to hide 7-foot blind that he stole from Northampton's shop. And it's literally the guy's got a pole sticking right through him, and it's fucking obvious.
So he stuck it down the back of his shirt.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, this is a great one. Man. Man passes out on glass roof of shitty shopping centre. City shopping centre after downing 6 pints to celebrate his new job. And there is a guy on his ass next to a fireman on this fucking glass ceiling. Oh my god, how drunk could you have to be to wind up on the roof of a shopping centre? I think I'll declare my love to everyone. I thought that was funny. Right. I'm going to read this the right way and then read this the wrong way. Student first-hand job experience. Or student gets first-hand job experience. Oh, that's a terrible one. This is another one. Farmer uses cannon to protect watermelons. Don't ask me. And then I've got this one. Dog finds massive 10-inch dildo in park and refuses to let it go. And there's a picture on Twitter of this dog with his fucking dildo in its gob. It's fucking hilarious. It's like, oh, how do you explain that? Okay. Man freed after getting head stuck in bin in Aberdeen. Oh my god, this guy literally put his head in a bin and got it stuck in a flap. Anyway. Grand Theft Auto. Elderly woman and her accomplice accomplice make low-speed getaway after stealing a mobility scooter whilst disabled owner was in church. Could you imagine that? It's like...
They're running away at 10 miles an hour.
Yes. Okay. I think it's time we say goodbye and wrap this... Sort of thing off.
Okay.
So it's been a bit of a short one this week. Plans just went down the crapper at the last moment, and I want to go and see Deadpool. And that's probably the main reason that the plans have gone down the crapper. Because I haven't seen it yet, and we probably would have been talking about Deadpool if I'd have watched it beforehand. So yeah. So thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.